James chapter 2. James chapter 2. Beginning verse 14, we have covered a few verses already of this portion, but just for connection. Beginning verse 14 of James chapter 2, what doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. James is casting a very, very great doubt on people who have no works to show. They say, oh, I have faith, but no works. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. Did you know the devils tremble at the sight of the Lord Jesus Christ? But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Now, verse 21. Was not Abraham our father justified by works, when he had offered Isaac, his son, upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his work, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Now, verse 25, likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works, when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. What's so amazing about the book of James is he is so meticulous. Of course, it's the inspired word of God, but he is so meticulous in bringing character building blocks. You have to take care of the widows, those, the fatherless, the orphans, the poor. You have to love your brother and sister in the Lord. You have to remember that God loved you. And you have to not only have faith, but faith has to basically show forth. And James is not saying that we are saved by works. We are saved by faith. He's talking about his brethren who have been saved by faith. For by grace are ye saved through faith. There's no doubt about that. By grace are ye saved through faith. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. And that's probably more quoted, or only second to John 3:16. How are we saved? By grace, through faith, and not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. How are we saved? By grace, through faith. How are we justified? By faith. We're justified for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And we have remembered how he died for us and paid for the penalty of our sins. And all we have to do to receive eternal life is to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and trust him and receive him as our own personal Savior and Lord. That's how we're saved. So we become alive in him. We are born again. We are born anew. We have life from above. And that life, James is saying, has to show forth. It has to show forth in our works. When we receive the Lord Jesus Christ, we become members of the family of God. And we have to act as members of the family of God. All things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And James says, show me. Show me. It's authenticated itself in the production of works. And he brings Abraham as one of the examples. Abraham. What does Abraham have to do with helping the poor? What does Abraham have to do with basically the orphans and so on? Abraham was a good one. But here's the thing. What he was saying, what James is saying is this, that God, because of Abraham's faith, God was supreme in Abraham's life. If God could save Abraham from the wretchedness of sin, then God could demand anything he wants of Abraham, including his own son. And God doesn't have to explain why either. And not even a word of comfort whatsoever. He says, you take your son. He said, okay. Works. Now, Abraham, in chapter 15 of Genesis, believed God and was counted to him for righteousness. It was imputed to him for righteousness. He believed God and he was declared righteous because of his faith in God. In chapter 22, in the offering up of Isaac, that faith, his belief in God, was manifested. I'd like for you to really take this in. His belief in God was manifested. By what? By works. Man, anybody who is willing to offer his son, his only son, the promise. See that promise? Has to believe in God. And that's what Abraham does. Now, so he insists upon the need for works in the lives of those who have been justified by faith. Justified by faith, by the right relationship through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and must demonstrate that he is a new creature in Christ. How do you demonstrate it? How do we demonstrate that we're new creatures in Christ? Well, by witnessing. By doing exactly what God tells us to do. What the Lord Jesus Christ tells us to do. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Well, of course, that was the commission to the disciples. But, well, what about us? What do we do? How about my neighbor? How about children of my family? Those are our responsibilities. Works. We have to. Now, then, and here's, I touched on this, and I'll just repeat this portion again. Even Paul, it says, by grace are you saved in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, that's salvation. But then here's what it says, we are his workmanship, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto what? Unto good works. You have to see a tree, and when you see the leaves, you say, oh, that tree is alive. Well, how do you know it's alive? I see the leaves. In wintertime, you may not be able to tell a difference between a dead tree and a live tree if the tree sheds the leaves in the fall, but in springtime, when all the leaves come up and then there's one tree that's not giving out leaves, you say, oh, that tree is dead, and soon it's cut down. So faith of Abraham is, of course, demonstrated. But then, in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 17, it says, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. By faith, he had faith, he offered up Isaac. And the question is God supreme in our lives? And I often wonder about this. How far can God go in asking me what to bring to him, what to do for him? Of course, God could say, my grace is going to be sufficient for you. He told that to Paul when he was praying that the thorn in the flesh would be removed. The messenger that Satan was buffeting him, basically the Lord had given Satan just a free approach on Paul, and there he was being buffeted. But Christ said, I'm going to do something better than that. I'm going to give you more grace. Oh, he said, well, that's fantastic, more grace. My grace is sufficient for thee, and my strength is made perfect in weakness. Oh, then I'll rejoice in my infirmities. Yes, God would give the grace. The other example that James cites is so different, and is the faith of Rahab. It's not a bare faith, but a working faith. Rahab. It's as the circumstances are as different as they can be from Abraham. Abraham, he's given the seed of promise, and through his offspring, through Isaac and Jacob and so on, the 12 tribes, the choice people and so on, here he is, and he is Rahab. First of all, she's a woman. Abraham was a man. Rahab is a woman. And may I say that God, the very God that created man, is the very God that created the woman. The only reason, brothers and sisters, the only reason I'm a man is because God made me a man. I had nothing to do with it. The only reason God makes a woman is because God wants that person to be a woman. And God has his purpose in a man and a woman. And he is no respecter of persons. And the two functioning as God appointed for them to function, they become one. The twain shall be one flesh. Neither male nor female. Brother Gans used to say this. He said, we are equal. God has made us so, but not interchangeable. We are equal, but not interchangeable. Since God has made me a man, I am not going to try to become a woman. Since God made a lady, she should not try to become a man. Rahab was a lady. The twain shall be one flesh. I tell people that talk about this, they say, wait a minute. Are you bragging about something? Tell me, who, like this Jewish friend of mine, I am Jewish and I am going to protect my heritage. I said, oh, well, that's really fantastic. That's really great. That's wonderful. Who made you a Jew? Did you choose your parents, Jewish parents? No. Oh, you didn't. Did your parents, your Jewish parents, choose you? No. Well, who made you a Jew? Who made you born in a Jewish family? Oh, he hadn't thought about that. he had not gone there. Anyway, so here you have a woman, a Gentile. It's not in the line of promise. A Gentile. Not only that, but of an accursed race. Her race was going to be wiped out. She was a Canaanite. Jericho was going to be wiped out. Cursed. The Lord had said to Moses and then later on to Joshua, you have to wipe them out, completely wipe them out. Their sins have filled and overflowing, have been overflowing the cup. Wrath has to come down. And also on top of this, not only she is from a cursed race, but also she is of a bad character. Previously, bad character. She is a harlot. In the Jewish economy, she would be executed, stoned to death. And then, of course, but yet after believing, here's what happens. Here she is, a woman, a cursed race, bad character. What happens after believing? After the new birth, what happens? She enters in the line of David the king. Oh, grace. The grace of God. When sin abounded, grace did much more or superabound. We see in Matthew chapter 1, it says, Salmon begat Boaz of Rahab. Did you know Boaz's mother's name was Rahab? That harlot who had gotten saved. She became a new creature. And Boaz, of course, begat Obed of Ruth. So here is Rahab, the Canaanitess. And then, of course, from Boaz, he gets Obed of Ruth, the Moabitess. And then Obed begat Jesse. And Jesse was the father of David. Jesse begat David the king. Can you imagine that? What new birth would do? God's grace. It's all of grace through faith. All of grace. Verse 25, we read, it says, likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works, when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way. How did she do that? Okay. First of all, Rahab linked herself to the cause of God. She linked herself with the cause of God, and because of that, she actually saved the lives of these spies. And the other one is her faith. Her faith actually changed the character of her act. And then there was that living power of her faith in what she did by basically hiding these people. She believed the two men to be messengers of God's people. Now here's what she says in Joshua. I'm going to quote some verses in Joshua chapter 2. Here's what she said, her faith. Look how she starts, beautiful. I know, she said, I know that Jehovah has given you the land. And then she said, and that your terror is fallen upon us. And that all the inhabitants melt away before you. Wow. I know. Well, how did she know that? How did Rahab know all this? Under the circumstances, she should have not have known anything. But here's what, how did she know this? First of all, not a single city in Canaan had been taken by the Jews, by the children of Israel. Not yet. And not only that, but not even a blow had yet been struck anywhere on this side of Jordan, in the promised land. Jordan River, of course, was a great barrier, sitting right there between them, between Jericho and the children of Israel, about 2 million people. There was a great, great barrier to cross Jordan, 2 million people, and fight. How did she know? It was by faith. Now look what she says. For we have heard, and faith cometh by what? By hearing. And hearing by the word of God. We have heard, she says, we have heard how Jehovah dried up the water of the Red Sea before you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites. She had heard that were beyond Jordan, to Sihon and to Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. We heard, and our heart melted, and there remained no more spirit in any man because of you. Now look at this great, great, great confession. For Jehovah, your God, He is God in the heavens above and on the earth beneath. Oh, she acknowledged God, Jehovah, He is the God, not only in heaven, but of course on earth. Well, the rest had heard too. Other people in Jericho had heard also. But she had faith. By faith, she acted on that hearing, on what she heard, how God had delivered the children of Israel by dividing the Red Sea in the wilderness 40 years and coming and defeating the enemies on the other side of Jordan. And she knows this is going to happen, and she wants to cast herself at the feet of Jehovah, the God of Israel. They had all heard it. But she rightly judged the folly of fighting against God. She knew she's not going to prevail. She knew they're not going to prevail. She knew they're going to be defeated. She knew that. And she linked herself to the cause of God. Isn't that wonderful? When Jericho was still in full power. Now this is what's so amazing. And here's what faith shows its strength. You see, she takes the spies and hides them. And then she lets them go. When Jericho was in full power, had she been caught, had she been noticed, would have meant execution right away. She was betraying her country, her city, her government. She was a betrayer. And she would have been executed right away. And did she risk that? So she risked. Her faith was shown forth by her work. She risked it. She counted on mercy in Jehovah's name, as true faith does. The hen gained a single victory, so she hid the spies. Now here's what she says. I believe in your God. I believe in God. I trust in your God. But here's what it says. Later on she says, and look at this, tremendous, tremendous testimony. And now I pray you. Now I'm praying. I pray you. Swear to me by Jehovah, since I have dealt kindly with you, that you will also deal kindly with my father's house. What a prayer. What a prayer. You're going to deal kindly with me and my father's house. And look what I have risked. And I have believed, I have put my trust in Jehovah your God. And don't forsake me. Well, of course not. Of course, Rahab's faith was fruitful, bringing forth fruit. Abraham's faith was fruitful, bringing forth fruit. Work. God's work. Enhancing the purposes of God through our lives. She was an instance of grace. The grace of God calling one of the chief of sinners, a harlot. And then, of course, on the other hand, you have Saul of Tarsus, chief of sinners as well, persecuting the church. But it's all by grace. Can you imagine Saul being saved by works? Killing, imprison all the Christians he could get a hold of? What would he have had to do to gain heaven by works? It's impossible anyway.
Grace, grace.
Here's what Hebrews, we read in Hebrews chapter 11, he says, by faith.
Oh, wonderful.
By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not. So, her faith saved her and showed forth by her works. And faith was shown by, indeed, her works. So now, we know from these object lessons, Abraham and Rahab, that wherever there is true faith, it's got to be faith. True faith. Whether Jew or Gentile, here's Rahab. She was not a Jew, she was a Gentile. Whether man or woman, is Abraham justified by faith? Rahab justified by faith? Greater or lesser believers? Or is Rahab Gentile and basically cursed to be destroyed? And Abraham, God's favor? He follows God as different as they could be? Or in such who have been greater or lesser sinners? And they say, wait a minute, Rahab was a much worse sinner than Abraham. Yeah, but Abraham needed to get saved by faith. And Rahab needed to get saved by faith.
By faith. Abraham versus Rahab.
But then, whatever there's faith, there's got to be good works. A person, I got this from a commentary, says, a person is a vain man that talks and boasts of his faith, but slights and rejects good works. Now let me read this again. This really impressed me. This person is a vain man that talks and boasts of his faith, but slights and rejects good works after he's saved. Our Father, we are so thankful and grateful for all these stories that you have brought before us, these demonstrations of faith, and that for us to continue to learn how to serve our God who has done so much for us. Indeed, by grace we are saved, and thank God for that, Lord, by grace through faith. And yet, Lord, we want to serve you. And that's the only purpose that we have after being saved, that we may be good witnesses in this world to basically bring glory and honor to the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who has done so much for us. We give you thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.